guest today is Glenn Block. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Hey, David. How are you?
It's great to see you again.
Good to see you too, man. It's always a pleasure.
In fact, you've got a new job. You've actually had two new jobs since you were last on my show. What are you doing now?
Has it been two? Wow.
You were at Microsoft when we last spoke.
Really?
We last spoke on TV.
I thought we spoke after that. Okay. Well, we've spoken after
that. We've spoken in the real life, yes.
Yes. There is life outside of David with friends.
What's your new
I have joined a great company. Actually, you can see it on the badge here, Auth0.
Okay, yeah.
We are sponsoring this event, actually.
It's a tech bash event, right?
Yep. So I have joined Auth0 working on a I've joined Auth0 working on serverless computing. So we actually have a technology that we use within our core identity product that we are actually turning into its own product.
Oh, excellent. So we talked about, actually I talked with Cassandra recently, maybe 2 months ago, about Auth0 and your core products. And
sure.
Give me like the 1 minute overview of what that is.
And admittedly, I'm still very new to the company, but I mean, the shortest way to describe it is identity as a service. We make it really easy for developers to secure their applications to support different types of identity providers. Mm-hmm. And we also have big traction for businesses. Like, they have built their own applications and they want to make it really easy for people to use different types of identity providers to log into their systems. Then you can do that with Auth0. And it's extremely developer friendly. I mean, we love developers and we spend a huge amount of effort thinking about how we can design something that's really easy for developers to use. And we get a lot of great feedback that people are really excited about just how simple it is.
And that was happening long before you got to the company. But you're working on something that's beyond that. What is that?
I am. So the thing that I'm working on is we have a technology which we call WebTask. You can find it on webtask.io. And what WebTask really is, you've heard this term serverless. Probably. So
I've heard it.
Well, I mean, what serverless really is about is saying that it's not that there are no servers. It's really that you don't have to think about the servers.
Right. It's abstracting,
It away. And you could say, oh, well, there used to be things like there's Heroku, there's Azure websites. I don't have to really think about servers there. But you still think about the context. You still think about an application. You think about the fact that that application is running on a server. In the serverless model, this term has emerged called functions as a service.
Okay.
So it's really about allowing you to do things in a very fine-grained manner, just deploying very simple functions that will automatically be scaled for you, will run for you.
Okay.
And we built it,
like,
you
like
might say,
microservices.
It fits well in the microservices world because microservices are all about being pretty fine-grained. Mm-hmm. You know, you can of course go to the extreme of where you're almost too fine-grained, so finding that balance. Mm-hmm. But what's different about us and why we built it, we actually built this to solve a very specific problem, which relates to extensibility within Auth0. So our identity product, one of the things people really like about it is how easy it is as a developer to customize it. Well, as soon as you are customizing and writing custom code that Auth0 is going to run on your behalf, there's a question there around isolation.
Yes.
You know, making sure that that code can't corrupt someone else's code, can't corrupt Auth0 itself, that it runs in a scalable way that's not going to slow down Auth0. So we kind of, I like my boss, Tomasz Janczuk, who authored, he's done some great things. He authored Edge.js and IIS Node that Microsoft uses for Azure and Node. He wrote WebTask, and he says, you know, we built WebTask scratching our own itch. Mm-hmm. So we needed to provide a way for customers to be able to introduce their own business rules, and it needed to be very simple for them to do that. We didn't want them to have to stand up their own servers. And so we built this mechanism that said, hey, all you need to do is just write some code. And, you know, there's a very simple interface for how that how that code will get invoked. Hmm. And we will deploy it for you.
Does
we will run
it
for you.
What language you write the code in?
As long as it's Node.js, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so you write it in JavaScript.
So you write it in JavaScript, though we do have support for some other languages in the sense that we support, for example, through Edge.js, which Tomic, his nickname is Tomic, has written, allows you to call C-sharp code. But one of the things we have that's quite interesting in this space compared to a lot of the other players who are going in this space is we have this notion of what are called custom compilers. So you could literally like author a what the custom compiler allows you to do is offer support for custom languages that you can author web tasks in, so you can go beyond JavaScript. So you could literally have a YAML. You could say, I want to support the ability for you to author a web task as just a YAML file. Mm-hmm. And you would, of course, have to write the parser for the YAML, but we give you the place where you can actually write that transformative code. Ultimately, it will run some JavaScript, right. But you can do those kind of experiences, which I think
file.
Is quite interesting, particularly for business rules. Like if you think about certain types of domains, like healthcare or insurance, these are heavy business rule domains where they have lots of terminology, domain specific terminology. And you could imagine someone saying, "Oh, well, I'm going to write like a healthcare DSL." That's going to allow us to define our healthcare rules in a really simple way. Mm-hmm. And then we can know that they're going to run in an isolated, scalable fashion. Another big value prop about our work that we did is the fact that it can work on-prem or in cloud. So we're not bound to a specific cloud provider. We actually do have a hosted version that runs in AWS, but we have plenty of customers that are actually running web task right on-prem because they're running Auth0 on-prem, and Auth0 also runs on-prem. So the business rules use case was one big place. Another big one.
So you mentioned AWS. Any plans to migrate to Azure?
We actually do support Azure, and we use Azure for failover as well. Our primary is AWS, but if AWS goes down, we have failover for Auth0, and we've written a whole article on that. And I think I don't know exactly what our story is as far as if customers just want to go to Azure. Okay. I actually think we do support that, but I'm not 100% sure.
You probably still have some friends on that team.
Yeah. this is true. So another thing that we've done is when you start to write these serverless compute things, in addition to just making sure you have code that can be spun up and scale and everything, one big problem you have to deal with is security. So, a lot of the use cases where people look at WebTask is the other side of a webhook. So webhooks are all the rage now. You can go to GitHub and say, I want to create a webhook. But the only caveat to that is when you create that webhook, something has to be on the other side that is going to receive that webhook.
Okay.
WebTask is really built around the webhook type scenario. So
define webhooks.
What a webhook basically is, it's an API. So if a product, like if you use GitHub and you want to subscribe so that anytime somebody updates your repo, for example, you may want to run some custom task. The way webhooks work is I can go into GitHub and I can give it a URL. And that URL is some destination that it will do an HTTP post to every time there's any kind of activity in the GitHub repo. This is actually what Azure uses, so that when you integrate Azure with GitHub, automatically when you push to your repo, it gets a notification. So in the case of Azure has a server. Right. So they built a server that can actually receive these webhooks, because in order to use a webhooks model, there's got to be somebody who's the receiver.
I see.
But if you're coming out fresh and saying, well, I want to listen to GitHub requests and I need to do something, I need to manipulate some information, maybe I want to send to Slack, send to Twilio, whatever the case may be, I need to have that bridge code that lives in the middle.
Okay.
And WebTask that has a URL, because that's the thing that's going to get invoked. And so WebTask provides a really simple way to say, okay, just give me a webhook with a place to put code behind it that can do what I need to do. But getting to the secrets, so let's say that I'm talking to Slack.
Okay.
So in order to talk to Slack, I need to have an API key or a URL that I can use. And I don't want that hard coded within where I'm putting my code,
right,
because maybe I'm going to push that code into a repo, and we've heard what happens when we accidentally publish credentials.
Or maybe in JavaScript, where you just don't want that exposed every time it runs.
Exactly. Well, that's a second interesting use case. So one of the things that we do with WebTask is we've baked in secrets as a first-class thing. So when you define your tasks, you can define one-to-n different types of secrets, different types of tokens that end up getting encoded in a JWT, a JSON Web Token, okay, which is a encrypted token that is, so it's opaque, nobody can see it. And then as an author of a web task, basically you can access these secrets just as simple properties. You don't have to make a call to any external key management service, for example, to get it. It's actually a fully baked in thing as part of the model. And a lot of developers find that really, really simple. But hitting on an interesting use case that you just mentioned, in this age of SPA, there's a lot of times
the
where
single page application.
Yep. You want to have a, let's say you want to have an application that talks to Twilio. Well, if you're building a client app, you could have, you know, a token in the client that then makes that call. But then that's a secret that is now shared and public.
Right.
Anybody who views the page could find it, right?
So the client-side JavaScript.
So one of the things we've seen customers interested in, and there was an article on newstack.io about this, is how you can use WebTask just to be that glue that hides secrets. So now, instead of the browser making a direct call to Twilio, the browser makes a call to the WebTask. The WebTask goes and talks to Twilio. Now, the user who views the source of the browser has no idea Twilio is even in the picture.
Right.
So it's really become an so we see some very interesting use cases where, you know, customers are building client-side browser apps and they just say, hey, we can use this. And this is where, you know, it fits also with the serverless moniker. I don't have to deploy a special server that sits in the middle. I just write the task.
I've
and
done
because
that sort
it's,
of thing, but I've written a web API
to hide
web
it.
Service.
Exactly.
That has just a bit of code that looks up.
It's just a variation of the same thing.
You're
it's just
less code for me to write.
Less you code for you to write, no project, and no notion of like I'm deploying an actual app.
You just turn it on. You say, I want to use the service.
I mean, you're still deploying, but what you're deploying is very fine grained, and you're not really thinking. A lot of it is perception, right? You're not thinking of like I'm deploying, say, a Heroku app or I'm deploying an Azure app. And of course, to be fair, I mean, you know, we're not the only ones in this space. Obviously, there's, you know, lots of different things. IBM has OpenWhisk, AWS has Lambda, Azure has Functions. I think the difference between us and them is that our focus is really on integration with other services and doing these other kinds of use cases that we're talking about and very heavily geared toward the browser. A lot of these other services are more focused on integration. Like I'm running, you know, something gets sent to blob storage and then I want to kick something off maybe and send a message to Service Bus. All that is glue code that is running on the back end, servicing back end use cases. Whereas a lot of our focus is more on the browser front-end type interactions.
So you're really designed to accept a REST request, a web service request.
Exactly. And our whole lifetime, like the way that we scale, our whole model is really built around the notion of doing work that happens within the scope of a request. We're not good for long-running process, and we say that very clearly. Mm. Like we do have an ability to do like cron, where we can run things in the background on a timer, but our optimization is really toward short things.
Sure.
That happen,
which
and
is usually what the web is.
Yeah, and we leverage things statements. Like containers. We're very containerized under the hood, so that we can spin things up very quickly and tear them down very fast. But we're certainly not optimized for like, oh, I want to go run something for hours on the back end, which you could absolutely do on some of our, you know, some of the other platforms.
So it sounds like this product it's not. It could integrate with your core product, the authorization product, but it could stand independently and be.
It does integrate with our core product. It's like when if you're an Auth0 customer.
Do you need to have the core product? Do you need to be
No. And if you just go to webtest.io, that's a service. You can sign up for it now. Yeah. You can sign up for it for free. We also have a paid model. And, you know, depending on how far you go and what your needs are.
What do you get for when you start paying? What extra do you get?
So we have. Like the lowest model, we're actually going to be rolling out with some new products soon in the future. Right now, the lowest price point, I think, is like $9.99. Mm-hmm. But we actually have a free model that you can go pretty far with. So the more serious customers go with the $9.99 or go up. Like we have.
This is what for higher workloads and.
Higher workloads, or even if you want to host on-prem. Like, we actually have an appliance so you can deploy on-prem. Then you pay a significant more money. Sure. That's definitely not free.
It's actually an appliance that you ship.
Well, we're not shipping you hardware, but it's, you know, you basically are running a fully packaged web task that is pretty self-managed.
And if people want to learn more, where do they go?
Easiest place to go, webtask.io. All right. And we've got some great documentation, really easy to get going. And you'll probably and there's some good videos out there, and you'll probably have a talk you'll be able to watch after today, because I will be speaking on
maybe
this.
Maybe I'll record that talk.
That would be very nice, David.
And you have an online presence also, right?
What was that?
You have an online presence also.
Yes. You can find me at gblock on Twitter. And if anybody's interested in Auth0, they can also email me, Glenn, glenn.block at auth0.com.
Glenn, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Technology friends.